A few years ago, and I don't, there was a service going on, special kind of a service. We might have had a guest. I think we had a guest speaker. I just don't remember all of the circumstances, but I remember I was standing up here where I normally stand. Praise and worship was going on. And as we were worshiping the Lord, you know, I had my eyes closed, and I didn't move, I didn't turn my head, but on the inside I began to have this vision. And what I saw, it was as though I was standing worshiping, but turning and looking back, and what I saw was Jesus. It was like he was standing right here, and he was looking out over the congregation as we were worshiping. Music's playing, we're worshiping. And he started walking down the aisle, right down the middle of the aisle. And as he would walk down the middle of the aisle, he would look down a row, a pew. When he got to that pew, he'd look down one side, then he would look to the other side. And he would look at all the people sitting in that row as they were worshiping. And as he looked at them, some of them, he would walk over and he would lay his hands on them and minister to them. And he was ministering to them whatever was relative for them and their need at that moment. And then he would, you know, go to the other side and do the same thing. But he wasn't touching everybody. He wasn't ministering to everybody. And as I'm asking him about this, I really didn't do a whole lot of asking. I was just kind of observing and listening. And he said, what I'm doing is I'm walking, you know, through the church, and I'm looking at all the people who are praising me, worshiping me. And he said, those who are truly worshiping me out of their heart are the ones that I can minister to. And I will impart to them what they need from me right now. But those who are just singing and their heart is not really in it, he said, I can do nothing for them. And I know some people would argue with that. Well, don't argue with me. Argue with the Lord and tell him he's wrong. And this goes right along with so much of what the Lord has said about worship, the things that He's shown me that I've passed on to you relative to worship. And last night, He began to speak to me as I was praying about today. And I'm going to read to you here in just a few moments what He gave to me concerning praise and worship, and it's very powerful. But if you look in Isaiah chapter 24, chapter 29. Chapter 29. You're going to see this in Scripture, what I just shared with you, this vision. Because see, in this vision, as I would look at the people, everybody looked like they were doing the same thing. I mean, people, hands were raised and so forth, eyes were closed, and if you looked at their face, and you looked at, you know, their hands being raised and all this, and like the expressions on their face, you know, their eyes closed, and they looked so intense in what they were doing. Or, in other words, on the outside, everybody looked like they were worshiping the Lord. But the Lord said, you know, I look beyond the outside. He said, I'm looking to their hearts, and I'm looking at what's coming out of their heart. Not what they're doing. I'm looking at what's coming out of their heart. And those that are worshiping me out of their heart, he said, those are the ones that I am able to bless, that I'm able to impart something to them, and the others I cannot. In Isaiah 29, and you're going to see this in Scripture, look here in verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear, or holy fear, reverence, and respect toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. And I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, okay, it sounds like you're blessing these people that have withdrawn their heart. And he said, no, that's not what's happening. He said in verse 13, they're all going through the motions, and looking on the outside, everybody is doing exactly what you would think they should be doing. Praising me and worshiping me. In other words, if you just look on the outside, everything looks right. He said, but even though there are words coming from their lips, the kind of words that if you listen, it sounds like they are singing and they are worshiping. He said, in reality, they've removed their heart from me. And notice, he doesn't just say in verse 13, remove their heart from me. He says, far from me. Far from me. Now, keep in mind, these are people who have gathered together. And part of the reason they have gathered together is to praise the Lord. So let's just call it a church service. And he said, but they've removed their heart far from me. Now notice what else he says. Their fear toward me. Their fear, the holy reverential fear, their respect, their honor toward me is based, now I'm paraphrasing here, is based upon the things that men have taught them, but which did not come from me. Because if these precepts that he's talking about here in verse 13 had come from him, it would be men repeating to other people the precepts of God that God has delivered. You understand what I'm saying? But what he is saying here is that you have people that are living by something that has been given to them by teachers. Let's just say preachers. But these are precepts, doctrines, things that I never gave. So then, now I want you to think about this. He's talking here about people worshiping him. So, in part, the precepts that he's talking about here have to do with worship. Not all of the precepts, but part of these precepts, because he is specifically identifying this during a time of praise and worship. So let's just kind of say it like this. That relative to the issue of worship, God is saying, these people approach me to sing unto me, believing that they are worshiping me, but that belief is based upon what their religious systems have taught them about praise and worship. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, we sang songs, we used the hymnal, and to this day I still don't know why, but we always skipped the third verse of every hymn. I still don't understand that. I don't know. It's like no matter what church you went to, that's the odd same thing, you know. First, second, and fourth verse. That was it. And I can remember, I clearly remember that there were a couple of times, maybe more than that, when the worship leader would go on into the third verse. And I can remember thinking, we're singing the third verse. Can we do this? And I can remember that I felt it was different. We actually sang all four verses of this song today. Whoa, that's incredible. Stretch the service out of, an extra, 60 seconds or so. Because back then we wanted to be out by noon, So he's talking about, see, don't worry, that's not going to happen here, all right? Man. So he's talking about these people praising and worshiping and all this other, but they're going through the motions, their heart has been removed from him, and their relationship with him is based upon what man has taught, not what God has given in his word. Well, then he turns right around and says, therefore behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people. I'm thinking, but they don't deserve it. Notice what he says. Look at this. Look closely at this. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, not in this people. Let me say it differently. The verse 13 people, they can be witnesses of the marvelous work, but they will not be instruments of the marvelous work. Meaning, among this people, there will be a marvelous work done. Let me say it differently. I look down at now taking the position of God. I look down on the church. Remember Jesus walking through the aisle? He did a marvelous work among the people. The only ones who experienced it were the ones whose hearts were not removed far from Him. The only ones who experienced it, who were recipients of it, were those who were truly worshiping Him out of their heart. So He did a marvelous work in our midst among this people. So you had people who were praising and worshiping the Lord in this vision I had. And Jesus is going through, some are being ministered to, some are receiving an impartation of whatever from the Lord, and others are receiving nothing from Him, and they're still praising and worshiping with their hearts being far removed from the Lord. It's happening. You know, here's person number one, and here's person number two standing right next to each other. Person number two is being touched by the Lord, and person number one is just singing. And this is what the Lord is talking about. I'll do a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise shall perish. The understanding of their prudent shall be hid. Okay, who are the wise men and who are the prudent men? The verse 13 men who are teaching the wrong precepts. Because the men who are teaching the wrong precepts have been esteemed to be wise and prudent. And God is saying, but I look upon them and all I see is foolishness. I do not see anything that's benefiting my people. And yet these folks are being esteemed highly. And the reason they're being esteemed highly is because the people have withdrawn their heart far, far from the Lord and pointed their heart in the direction of these folks that God says have no wisdom and have no true understanding. Now, as I'm looking at this, I mean, he really took me to this passage because it fits into what we want to take a look at today in this word that I'm going to share with you that He gave to me. Turn to Psalm chapter 56. Psalm 56. You know, we've had a lot of prophecies here about praise and worship. In fact, I would say we've had more prophecies about praise and worship than any other single subject. And here's the thing. And I'll just, you know, fess up. I know, I don't have to ask you, I know that there are some people who think I'm rather hard-headed about some things. Yes, hallelujah. Including this thing about the praise and worship. And there are some people I know that maybe the terms I'm using aren't the exact terms, but the concept is true. Think I'm very legalistic about praise and worship. Think that I make it a religious act that you have to do or God won't love you and so forth. But if you listen to the teaching series, the two teaching series I have so far on praise and worship, you'll understand. Well, no, if you will listen and receive the teaching on those two series, you will understand it has nothing to do with some sort of religious dogma. It has nothing to do with any kind of legalism, but it has to do with a spiritual event, a spiritual work, a spiritual experience, all of which surrounds God. In fact, and I cannot go into this today, but there are some things that I believe He has been showing me about praise and worship that I don't know I've ever heard anybody teach before. And I began questioning a little bit about that. Not questioning Him, but wondering, okay, am I really hearing this correctly? I mean, or is this just another one of my imaginations running away with me? And as soon as I started thinking that, He started bringing to my mind some verses in Scripture. And it's like, man, there may be something to this. You say, well, what is it? Well, I can't tell you right now. I'm not released. You say, well, then why even bring it up? Because I'm feisty. But I will say this. We got a prophecy here not too long ago. And I don't remember which prophecy it was. But in it, the Lord said something about what I'm not talking about. And he brought that part of the prophecy to mind when he was sharing this with me. But the whole thing of praise and worship, it goes back to even with Lucifer, the instruments and so forth. So there's something powerful about this, but so many people have dismissed it. And one of the reasons that many people have dismissed it is because of the precepts of men. What we've been taught about praise and worship. Well, let's take a look here. Psalm 56, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. All right, now, just in these first three verses, what do we see? We see somebody who's just going through a lot of stuff in life. And stuff can be relative to each person and their own personal circumstances, okay? You know, sometimes you feel like your problems on the job are going to swallow you up, or, you know, whatever it would be. But he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God, I will praise His Word. In God, I have put my trust. Now, all of the verse 1 and verse 2 things are still happening. But he says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Many people are afraid. You know, oh, what if they lay me off? What if they fire me? Okay, well, what if they do? I guess God's been removed from the throne. But you have people that are fearing what flesh can do to them. He says, every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity in thine anger? Cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? So in other words, now in verse 7 and 8, you know, he's expressing his feelings to God. But now look at this. Verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is with me. When I cry unto thee, okay? Well, how could I cry unto God to come to this place of having this kind of confidence? Verse 10, in God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Now look at this. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. In other words, God, you are speaking over me. You are declaring your word and your truth over me. Your word will not return void, but it will accomplish what you speak. You're speaking over me. You, God, in heaven, on your throne, you are speaking your words of life, deliverance, joy, strength, everything. You are speaking these things over me into my life. This is what you're speaking. The enemy is speaking destruction, but you're in heaven and you're speaking these wonderful things of your will and your word into my life. Think of this. Think right now. Think about this. God is in heaven speaking over you. He is speaking His will. Listen, He is not going to come in agreement with a bunch of complaining. He's not. When you go to Him and you're fussing, or maybe you don't even go into Him, you just fuss and complain to everybody else around you and so forth. Just fuss and complain and all of a sudden on and on it goes. God is not going to sit up in heaven and say, you're right, it stinks, it's lousy, it's no good, you're right. He's not going to do that. He will speak opposite to you. He will only speak His will and His word over your life. Because, now listen, if He spoke anything other than His heart over you, He would be speaking a lie. And God cannot lie. And he says, "Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" In other words, if you've delivered my soul, then I know you're going to, if you're going to go so far as to deliver my soul, then I have the confidence of knowing you're going to go beyond that. And you're going to work in every aspect of my life to help me out. But I want you to notice in this, a turning point has to do with the praise and the worship. God, I see all these things going on around me. I see, we've got, so many times you can tell, generally speaking, the time period in which a sermon was preached based upon the references to political situations and world events. Like today, people fuss and complain and they're all, everybody's upset one way or the other about, the health care plan. Say what you want about it. I mean, people are, both sides are all, worked up over this whole thing with the health care plan. Well, says right here, I can have peace in the midst of health care plan turmoil. I will praise you, God. I will worship you. I give you glory. He says, when I cry unto you, my enemies will turn back. This I know, God is for me. In you I will praise. So what we're seeing here is a foundation of praise and worship in spite of anything and everything else that is going on. How do you know when people are worshipers? Here's how. One way. They're not complainers. People that constantly contact me one way or the other, in person, telephone, email, whatever, and all they talk about are their problems, I know you're not a worshiper. Oh, yes I am, Brother Martin. Stand next to me in the church service. You'll know I... No, you're not a worshiper. Jesus is going to walk right by you during the service. And you will not receive from Him because your heart's not in it. You can sing, but your heart's not in it. He's going to walk right by you. I go to church. Why doesn't He bless me? You go to church, but you leave your heart at home. It isn't that He doesn't want to. He's trying to, but He won't bless the flesh. He'll bless the heart. See? And we see a foundation of praise and worship before there is any manifestation of deliverance. Now let's look at another passage here. And in this passage, we're going to see something that kind of takes this another step further. Psalm 57, very next chapter. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. Now look at the decision this person's making. Their life is surrounded with calamities. Now I'm not going to ask if anybody can bear witness with this right about now, but some of you probably or may feel the same way, that your life is surrounded by calamities. And he is saying, look, the calamities are here, but in the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge. Now in verse 2 he says, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. Even though there are calamities surrounding me, He performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. He's speaking over me. His truth. He's speaking over me. My soul is among lions, and they lie, even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Verse 4. Let me just make another reference to the Wednesday night service. If you didn't hear the Wednesday night service, verse 4 is describing some of the people I talk about in the sermon from Wednesday night. The title of the sermon was, or is, Are You Ticked? For those of you watching, if you want to get it, just order the sermon, Are You Ticked? Because here in this, he says, The souls or the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. You know what is happening here? It's the words of people. It's not so much their physical attack, but it's their word. It is what they are speaking into your life. But now look in verse 5. He says, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above the earth." Now, he's saying, "Be thou exalted." Okay, exalted above what? The calamities and the verse 4 people. In other words, God, I've got calamities. God, I've got verse 4 people. But here is my declaration. God, you be exalted above all of that. You be exalted. Because when God is exalted above all of that, think of the process. As God is being exalted and being raised up above all of that, my eyes follow Him as He's rising up above all of the calamities in the verse 4 people. And when He's exalted above all of that, I'm looking unto Him, not to that stuff. And it says, "Be thou exalted," verse 5, "O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be above the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps." In other words, a trap. "My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves." But now look what he says in verse 7. "My heart is fixed, O God." My heart is fixed. Fixed to do what? I will sing and give praise. My heart is fixed. This word fixed means established, firmly implanted. Think of it like this. Poured cement that is hardened. My heart is fixed. Fixed. My heart is... What did God say over there in Isaiah? "Their lips honor me, but their hearts are far removed from me." This guy says it's just the opposite. My heart is fixed. There are calamities. There are verse 4 people, but my heart is fixed. Fixed to do what? I will sing and I will praise you. I will sing and I will praise you. Yeah, but your life stinks. My heart is fixed. If my heart is fixed to sing and praise Him, then my heart is not going to wander away from Him, and I'm not going to focus on the calamities and the verse 4 people and their words that they speak into my life. You're always going to have people that are going to speak lousy things into your life. You do know that. In the church. He says, "My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I, myself, will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people." Remember what he said over there in Isaiah. He talked about these people sing unto me, but their hearts are far removed from me, and I will do a wondrous work among them. And here he is saying, "I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people." In other words, here I am among the people. They're singing, but my heart is fixed and I'm praising. My heart is fixed. I cannot answer for the rest of them. But my heart is fixed. And I will praise you among the people. Among the people. And he says, "I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." And the point I want to make here in this is that this person's heart is fixed. Fixed. Now let me ask you a question. If this person's heart is fixed, settled, firmly established, immovable, that he or she is going to praise, is going to sing unto the Lord, what do you think that person will do when given the opportunity to worship the Lord? Worship God, right? I mean, it just kind of goes without saying. So, you know, I've been in church services before to where, based upon what was happening in the service, I'm talking about during the singing and all that, I really didn't feel the presence of God very much. But I created God's presence for myself. In other words, everybody else in the church may have been singing, but their hearts were removed, or they're praising, they're worshiping based upon the precepts of man. But in the midst of all of that, I'm praising God. Now, I'm feeling His presence. They may not, but I am. And so here He says, my heart is fixed. Doesn't matter what you do, my heart is fixed. I will sing and I will praise you. Look over in Psalm 108. You'll see a little bit more along the same theme. In Psalm 108, verse 1, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto Thee among the nations, for Thy mercy is great above the heavens, and Thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and Thy glory above all the earth, that Thy beloved may be delivered. Save with Thy right hand, and answer me. God has spoken in His holiness. I will rejoice. And then he goes on and begins to share more about things that the Lord is going to do and so on. But I want to focus here on this. Again, we say, or he says, my heart is fixed. Fixed. It's not going to be removed. My heart is fixed and I will sing. I will praise you. Then he says in verse 6, that thy beloved may be delivered. The deliverance, experiencing the deliverance, is based upon this person praising and worshiping God in the midst of the calamity. A lot of people say, oh God, why aren't you helping? Oh God, why won't you? Where are you, God? I can't feel you. Where are you? All they're doing is complaining. There's God is saying, you know what? I said in my word, I inhabit the praises of my people. I do not inhabit the complaining of my people. So now you know where God is. He ain't. When you're complaining, you want to experience His presence, start praising Him. Start worshiping Him. And when your heart is fixed, it won't matter what you're going through. You're going to praise Him and you're going to worship Him. When your heart is fixed. And so many of us have gone through these things in life to where we worship and praise based upon how we feel that day. How was work? It was lousy. I don't even feel like going to church tonight. You know, Wednesdays. I don't even feel like going. I'm staying home. Okay. But you're removing your heart. And then they give you this, well, I'm going to experience God here at home. I can praise Him just as good here as I can. Yeah, you can sing. You can sing louder, as loud or louder at home. But your heart is far removed from Him. Trust me. You're not fooling anybody with your words. And I don't even want to go too far into that because I really get folks offended. He says, verse 6, that your beloved may be delivered, save with the right hand and answer me. Now look in verse 7, God has spoken in His holiness. What led this person to the place of hearing God speak in His holiness? Their heart was fixed and they were singing and they were praising unto Him. Their heart was fixed. You know, there are a lot of people, I mean, even in this church, who are still very, very self-conscious when it comes to worshiping the Lord. You are afraid that other people are going to hear you. You are highly concerned that you have a lousy voice. You're very concerned, and really it's a form of pride and being self-centered, because when you're worried about what you sound like, your focus is on you. It's not on God. And as long as you refuse to enter in to singing, worshiping, and so forth, because you're concerned about somebody might hear you, and we're not talking about singing so loud that, you know, you shake the beams. You know that. But as long as you are so concerned that you have a lousy voice, that you can't stay on pitch or any of this other, then you have removed your heart from Him and you are focused on you and what you sound like. Now, even though I'm saying this, unless people receive it, nothing's going to change in your life. Because the next time we come together for praise and worship, you're going to do the same thing. Because you're just going to remove your heart from Him and focus on you. And you're going to worry about how close people are around you when it comes to the praise and worship. Well, you know, you can come in and you can go through the motions of singing, but Jesus is going to walk right by. He's not concerned about whether or not you stay on pitch. And this is true, you know, going even a step further, the free worship. And a lot of people, they really, you know, they drop off the map, so to speak, when we begin to enter into free worship. I love you, Jesus. Glory to your holy name. I magnify you, Jesus. I love you. I worship you. And then the whole thing, like singing in the spirit. There are so many of you that are still terrified to do that. You just won't do it. And I'm not on another soapbox. You're going to, when I share this word from the Lord, you're going to see this clearly. What I'm trying to emphasize is, you know, you're okay kind of singing when we've got some words up here and a tune you recognize. But when it comes to you just, your heart no longer being removed from Him, but you pouring out your heart, well, yeah, but I just don't like that singing stuff. Now, wait a minute, what singing stuff? Well, you know, what you call free worship. But you're okay when it comes to a word and a tune, a word flashed, the words all up on the screen, and the tune you recognize, you're okay with that, right? Yeah, well, I can do that. Then why can't you do the other? Well, I can tell you why. It's because you're self-centered. You're not Christ-centered in your worship. Well, you're insulting me. Look, if you got an issue with this, take it up with God, okay? Because in Scripture, there are things in the Psalms, speaking prophetically, that talk about sing a new song unto the Lord. And that phrase, new song, is talking about something that has never been sung before. It's a way of describing the free worship. Paul, the apostle, the guy we read from, the guy we quote from and teach from and all this other, he said, I'll sing with the spirit and sing with the understanding. He said, I will sing. I will sing. I will sing. The word sing appears in Scripture almost 150 times. There's got to be something to it. Now, I know some of the singing is talking about things in heaven and so on and so forth, but it appears almost 150 times. There's something to it. Make melody in your heart. And there is something about the singing. There's something about releasing this. God said, you know, I'm looking for people that will worship me in spirit and in truth. Well, you go through here in Psalms, you see all this. My heart is fixed. Fixed to do what? Sing. Praise you. And so a lot of folks, you know, you get to the point of the free worship. And they're okay with the words and the tunes they recognize. And we get to the point of the free worship, and they stop singing, Jesus, I praise you. Yep, that's what I do. I glorify you too, Jesus. Yep. Uh-huh. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise you. Bless you, Lord. We done yet? Hallelujah. Glory. All of a sudden, there's a complete shift in their approach to what they're doing. Why is that? Your heart's removed from Him. How do you know what's going on in my heart? Who do you think you are? Well, you know a tree by the fruit. If you can do the one, why can't you do the other? I'm not trying to come down on you. I'm just, why can't you? What I'm trying to do is help you see this differently. What is the problem? Because when God talks about doing it, and we see instructions and edification and exhortation in Scripture to do it, why not? Why not? Now, we talk about, you know, I will sing praise unto you. All right? And we read about this in Scripture. I will sing praise unto you. I will worship you. And I'm thinking about this message this morning before I even get up here. While we were singing the very first song this morning, I'm talking not the pre-service worship, but the regular time of worship. Singing the very first song, Church on Fire. The Holy Spirit is here. His power is real. Anything can happen. It probably will. Something good is going on around here. There's a light that shines to make the dark disappear, a power at work, but there's nothing to fear. Something good is going on around here. This is a church on fire. This is a Holy Spirit flame. We have a burning desire to lift up Jesus' name. Let fire burn in every heart to light the way, defeat the dark. Let the flame of love burn higher. This is a church. This is a church on fire. So we're singing that, and I'm asking the Lord, okay, how is this a worship song? Now, before the praise team gets worried, you can't sing that one no more. Hear me out. Hear me out. All right? I'm asking him, and I wasn't being critical. I was serious. I was asking the Lord, how can this be? Because there's so many songs that we sing that are not directed to Him. And this is an example. So, you know, I said, you know, how is this a worship song? Man, wait till I tell you what he said to me. He said, don't just sing the words. See yourself prophesying the words. In other words, as we're singing this, most people, you say, well, how do you know most people? Trust me. Most people... This is a church on fire. Ooh, yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Spirit is here. Glory to God. And any church can sing this song. Any church can sing this song. But on songs like this, when we're not singing, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul rejoice, when we're not directing it to Him, you see it as a prophecy over the congregation and the church. A declaration of a truth of His desire. Remember when God was dealing with, who was it? Ezekiel? Speak to the bones? Dry bones? God told him what to say. He said, you speak to the bones. Bones come to life. So he would speak what God told him to speak. And what he was speaking was the will of the Father. And as he began to speak the will of the Father, the bones came to life and became a mighty army. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. They became a mighty army. Okay? And he said, don't just sing these words. Don't just go through the motions of singing these words. See yourself as a prophet of God. This, or the Holy Spirit is here. And His power is real. Anything can happen, and it probably will. Something good is going on around here. There's a light that shines to make the dark disappear. A power at work, but there's nothing to fear. Something good is going on around here. This is a church on fire. The Holy Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit flame. We have a burning desire to lift up Jesus' name. Let fire burn in every heart to light the way, defeat the dark. Let the flame of love burn higher. This is a church. This is a church on fire. Puts a whole new perspective on singing songs like this. Don't just sing them. Seize the opportunity. I mean, this is what, it was almost like I was seeing, as he's saying this to me. It was like he was saying, look, I need you to speak these words. I need you to speak, because everything about this is His will. Everything about this is what He wants done. Not just this church, but any church. This is what He wants. So therefore, if I come in here with an attitude, you know, with this song or, you know, other kind of songs like this, and I'm not just singing, well, okay, you know, this is a church on fire, and I'm just going through the motions, but if I look at this and I seize this opportunity to be used as an instrument of God, and I see myself singing and prophesying to music His will, His desires, His declarations over what He wants done, and I believe that this is going to come to pass. That this is a church on fire. Then I'm no longer just singing a bunch of songs and waiting for the next one to come along. I see myself as, man, every time I repeat these verses, I'm prophesying. I'm prophesying to the dry bones of God's church that this is a church on fire. Rise up and be on fire. Let the flame of love burn higher in this place. I thought, well, praise God, I can do that. But I mean, I'm talking this morning. He showed me this. And I'm thinking, boys, this puts, for me, he just gives me a whole new perspective of what we're doing here. How can I get bored when I know I am prophesying and I'm paving a way for him to begin to sweep in and touch people's lives? Praise God. Now, I want you to look over in 1 Kings chapter 19. And, you know, I've heard people share with me, people that have watched the broadcasts, people who have visited the church, and they talk about how that, man, you know, boy, I just can't find a church like yours. And it's not that we're the best church, it's just that, you know, what we do just with the praise and worship. I just can't find a church, man. The worship here is so great. The praise and worship is so wonderful. I love it. Oh, I wish I could live here. Wish I could be a part of this. And, you know, it can almost, if you don't watch out, you can almost get to the place of thinking, well, man, we're the voice crying in the wilderness. I mean, nobody else out there. Well, there are, because I've been in other churches like this. And, you know, we're still growing in our understanding and involvement with praise and worship. We're not at the pinnacle yet. We're still pressing into it. And you know, you can get to the place of thinking that, well, man, that just ain't out there anywhere. I mean, what's the deal? Well, this, when I'm thinking along those lines, not thinking those thoughts, but it's like God was saying, this is what people can think, and he said, but I want to show you something about this. And he used this passage in 1 Kings to help me, to give me something to share with you to exemplify. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah is involved here, and in verse 9, he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now jump to verse 18. God is speaking, and he says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. In other words, here's Elijah serving God, and he's come to the place of believing, well, I'm the only one left. There's nobody else. Nobody else. And God says, wait a minute, hold on, Elijah. Let me tell you what you don't know. I have 7,000 hidden away that have not bowed their knee to Baal, that have stayed true to me, and I am getting ready to release this 7,000 upon the world. And that's, you know, you keep reading, you can see how things changed in Israel and so forth. Now, do you think that gave Elijah comfort? Well, I'm sure it did to some degree. But here God is telling him, this is what you don't know. You think you're the last one, but you're not. I've got 7,000 who are getting ready to cut loose with my word and my work. Okay, now with that in mind, let me read this word that he gave me last night to you. I am raising up a new level of worshipers. They are those who are not ashamed or embarrassed to praise me and worship me in the spirit and with the understanding. They are those who are more concerned with my presence than they are the opinions of others. I will be pouring into them an anointing of power to tear down strongholds of the enemy. They will have no fear of the enemy, but the enemy will tremble when they hear the sound of their footsteps. I am raising up this army of worshipers around the world. When the Jews crossed over the Red Sea, one of the first things they did was worship me. When the ark was returned to Jerusalem, it was accompanied by praise and worship. When the temple was finished, the first thing they did was worship me. When the foundation walls of the temple were relaid, the first thing they did was worship me. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, the people heard those who were filled speaking in tongues and worshiping me for my greatness. One of the most notable things John witnessed in the Revelation was the praise and worship in heaven. I am raising up this army of worshipers. They will not be swayed and they will not be stopped. The fire of my glory burning in them will fuel more and more worship. They will move in the miraculous. They will hear my voice. They will know me as a God who cannot be defeated. They will walk in victory throughout the land. They will walk in a holy boldness that none can dissuade. In the Spirit, they will glow with my glory as it pours from them and rests upon them. There are many who will delight in these words and feel an excitement in believing that they will be a part of this army. But I say unto you, only those who truly worship me can be raised up like this. I do not want to hear the pleasant and trained voice of the flesh and soul. I want to hear the hearts of my children as they worship me. I do not watch performances, but I do participate in worship that comes from the heart. As you would say it, I am sickened. Sickened by the way my church has professionalized praise and worship. I watch as churches advertise for musicians, singers, and worship leaders. I watch as my children flock to those churches which have the best sounding and best trained worship teams. I watch as they practice and practice and practice to get their harmonies perfect and their pitch perfect and their timing perfect, all the while leaving out the most needed element, a heart that is fully committed to worship me. I do not anoint performance, but I will visit that worship which comes from the heart. Do you not think that I can fill a church with musicians and singers whose hearts are sold out to me? Of course I can. But you must want to worship me more than perform for me. In my army of worshipers, none will be interested in performing for me, but all will be fully committed to worship me. There are churches throughout this world who have set aside times specifically for worship. Do you think that I do not watch those who do and do not attend? If you know that I inhabit your praises, why would you not want to gather for the purpose of worshiping me? Why would you not take advantage of every opportunity to join with your brothers and sisters in Christ to praise me? What is it about my presence that you do not appreciate that would cause you to stay away? I see this all over the world in churches where worship is emphasized. I will accept you into this army of worshipers, and you can experience all that this army will receive from me and do for me. But you must make a choice to make worship a priority in your life. For those in this army have made worship a priority. Do you not realize that there is an anointing that is released in your worship? As my word says, I inhabit your praises. Therefore, my anointing is present with me in praise. Many of you have had the opportunity to carry this anointing home with you after times of worship, and this anointing would destroy yokes of bondage impacting family members. But you have dismissed such worship and taken it too lightly. Where in my word do you see that I have declared Sunday to be a day of rest? And yet, many of my children call Sunday their day of rest, their Sabbath, and use that as an excuse to stay away from my presence in their churches. Does not my word say that you are bought with a price? If therefore you have been bought with a price, have not your days also been bought? Why do you see it as an inconvenience to gather together to worship me? I watch as this happens in churches around the world which have placed an emphasis on worship. Many say that their life is too complicated and too busy, that they need Sunday just to get it together, and they stay away from my presence. I would like to know, do you think your life would be any less complicated if you didn't have me in your life? Have you considered that the anointing which is released from me during genuine heart-released worship would bring about a restructuring of your life and settle so much of the disorder? My army of worshipers will face daily challenges. The enemy will come against them. But there will be nothing the enemy does that will stop them. They will worship me straight into eternity. They will blaze a trail of victory in this world. They will shatter the strongholds of the enemy. They will permanently shut down many of the enemy's plans. The light of my glory shining through their worship will lead many out of darkness. I am calling all of my church to join this army. However, I know that most will not listen. But will you listen? Does it really matter to you? No matter where you are, I am calling you to this army. Will you join? Will you let me clothe you in my presence and my glory in a way that will bring about a supernatural protection? Will your spirit become like tempered steel that cannot be bowed? Will you allow me to form you into a vessel filled with holy fire? Will you lay aside self in order to be clothed with the spiritual armor of a warrior who knows he has victory before the battle has begun? Do you want to be in this army that I am raising up? If so, become one who worships me from the heart, one who seizes every opportunity to worship me, one who hungers for my kind of presence which only manifests through worship. Learn to enter into heart-released worship whether or not you have music. My army of worshipers is a volunteer army. You must want to join, and you can join only if you decide to live the life of a worshiper. Do this, I say, and watch walls the enemy has had constructed for decades come tumbling down before your feet. Do this, I say, and watch the chains of captivity break from those who have been in bondage for years. Do this, I say, and touch the overwhelming power of my presence, and you will never be the same. Praise God. Now, you know, here, what we do, this pre-service worship that we have, and, you know, this is where, you know, it might get a little challenging, and I don't mean it to be that way. But you know why you're not here. Now, this is between you and God. It's not between you and me. As the pastor, I am simply facilitating in that I create the opportunity for this to happen. In other words, I set aside these times, 45 minutes before each service, so that we can come together and worship the Lord. For those of you that are watching, you can do this at home. You can log on. And you can worship with us, because all of this applies to you as well. Like the Lord said, it's all over the world. But only you can answer as to why you don't come for this. And I do know, from what the Lord has shown me, that there are some who really do not see the value of being here for this. Now, you need to know that God loves you, and He's not pulling salvation away from you. However, you're missing what God does through this worship. Remember what He said, that I'm going to do a wondrous work among this people. Meaning, in this church, and there are other churches around the world that I do know, they do the same thing. They'll have a time of worship before the service begins. Or they'll have different nights through the week set aside just for worship. I know of one particular church that does this, and I logged on to their website. And, you know, we do ours with recorded music. And the reason we do it with recorded music is because we do not have a plethora of musicians and so forth. Now, they're coming in, but we don't have them all here just yet. Well, at this one particular church, and it's a pretty good-sized church, This was, I don't even remember what day, whatever, but I logged on to their website, and it's live. They show it live. And they had a worship team. There must have been like maybe eight. Might have been seven, might have been ten, but eight people on the platform. And they were doing the praise and worship. And the way the camera was positioned, you could see part of the sanctuary. Not all of it, but part of it. And as I'm looking, I'll be honest with you, you know, I was rather shocked at how many people were not there. And that worship team, they were worshiping God like the place was full. Praising God like every seat was occupied. Communicating, interacting as though the 2,000 or 3,000 people were there. Or whatever the sanctuary holds, I don't know. I'm thinking, praise God, man. They're looking beyond what they see into His presence. And you know what? They have to fight discouragement because Satan would want to come against you with discouragement. Well, nobody's here and you're doing this again. Yeah, but I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for you, to you, and for them so that they can come and be here if they want to be here for this. Well, see, immediately, you know, I get to talking like this, and some folks could begin to interpret this as, well, you're just, again, there you go, creating new rules and new regulations. You know, we got to be there, we got to be there, we got to be there. Well, it kind of goes back to what God said in this Word. I guess my question is, look, I'm not going to, you know, punch everybody in the nose that doesn't show up. You understand here? What I don't understand is why you wouldn't be here to participate. Now, listen, let's lay a disclaimer. Some people have jobs. Some people have other legitimate challenges that would keep them from being here. But not every time. And when you understand more about what worship does, just the little I've shared today, again, my question is, why would you not want to do this? Well, it's like the Lord said, you know, the call has gone forth, will you be in this army? And He's raising up this army, like those dry bones, man. It's going to become an army. And these are going to be people whose hearts are fixed. See, when your heart is fixed, you are looking for opportunities to be there for the praise and worship. There are some people that may show up, and I'm not accusing, so I'm going to leave it kind of vague like this. There are some folks that may show up here for our times of pre-service worship, and consistently they drag in late. And it's not because they're working late or, you know, whatever, which, I mean, that can be the case in some situations. I know that. It's just the value of being here for this, it just isn't there. In other words, their heart is not fixed. And God's not questioning whether or not that, you know, He knows that you love Him, but how far does that love go? And I even have to question myself, you know, my motives. You know, okay, I try my best to be here before it starts. You know, well, I'm the pastor, okay, so yeah, I'm going to be here anyway. But I can tell you, and I know this, if I weren't the pastor, knowing what I know about praise and worship, if I weren't the pastor, I would want to be here before it starts. I'd want to be here at least 2-3 minutes before it starts to be ready to participate with everybody else in the fullness of the worship and what God may do in the worship. And again, please, you know, if you leave this service today feeling like that I am trying to impose more legalism, you've missed the point of this message completely. This is between you and God. It's not between you and me. I simply, as the pastor, make this available because this is what God said to do. And God has said in this Word, you know, the people that are a part of this army, He's raising them up. They are going to move in the miraculous. These people that aren't ashamed, aren't embarrassed, and they're going to praise and they're going to worship. See, I could come here and just for me now, I can't speak for you. But I could come here for these 45-minute sessions, these times before the services. If I was the only person in this room, I would still be praising and worshiping with the same intensity. Because I want to enter into this time with God. And I admit there are times where I have to, like my thoughts want to start, you know, going off and doing this and you know, doing that. And I have to, you know, pull my thoughts back in to try and stay focused on Him. And some services I really struggle with that. We all do. Because it's a battle. But I fight to win that battle. Now, you know, here's what can happen after a message like this. Well, pastor's going to be watching to see if we're going to be there, so we better show up. I'm not taking attendance. You know, this is between you and God. You've heard what God has said. You've seen what He's shared in His Word. This isn't about me. This isn't about rules and regulations for this church. It's simply about an opportunity for us to gather together to worship Him, to be a part of what He's doing in a greater and deeper way. And you have to, like He's in here, I mean, this whole thing about, you know, your heart fixed, I've got to ask myself, is my heart fixed? And I can't answer for your heart, but I do answer for my own. And I have to ask, is my heart fixed? I'd like to think it is, but I've got a feeling there are parts of my heart that aren't fixed. And that needs to change. And we're not talking here about, you know, well, we've got to be there at church, you know, every day and got to do this. No, no, and you know better than that. That's not what's being said. But I really believe that, and I don't know when this would happen, but I really believe that we will have other evenings where we're going to have a time of worship Tuesday night and everybody, you know, want to come by. And there will be a lot of people that will come by, but then there will be a lot of people that won't come by just because they don't want to. Oh, I'm busy. Well, I know you're busy. I know. I'm not condemning you. But I do know this. When you have the opportunity and you don't, you are missing out on something that God will do in your life during that time of worship. You're missing out. And if you come in just to try and impress me, just to show up, Jesus is going to walk right by. I want what He has for me. And I want you to have what He has for you. And I want to be a part of this army. Because this army of worshipers, they're not worried about the people around them. They're not worried about the calamities and the verse 4 people we read about here a little bit ago. They're just concerned about Jesus. Praise God. So this is a challenge that the Lord is issuing to the body of Christ, not just this church. And we can have it if we want it, every single one of us. I would like this location to be an army outpost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.